Good morning. If we could have a roll call.
Chair McMichael?
Here.
Vice Chair Geddes?
Here.
Regent Arascata?
Here.
Regent Boylan? Regent Brooks?
Here.
Regent Tarkanian?
Here.
You have a quorum present.
Thank you, Carrie. Is there any public comment?
No public comment at this time.
Okay, then we'll move on to agenda item number two. Minutes. For action.
Regent Geddes moves approval.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Second.
If you're waiting for a second, I'll second it.
Thank you. Do we have any comments? Hearing no comments, can we go ahead and have a roll call vote?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chair Geddes.
Aye.
Regent Arascata.
Yes.
Regent Boylan.
Aye.
Regent Brooks.
Yes.
Regent Tarkanian.
Yes.
Chair McMichael.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. So we'll move on to agenda item number three, Chair's report. And this is information only. I wish to welcome all of the new members of the to the board. I'm sorry, the security committee. Hoping that with the four new regents, we can have a great input as to moving the security committee along. And I'm hoping that with the Southern and Northern Command, we will get back up to speed since we haven't had a security meeting, a committee meeting since September. With that, do we have anyone wishing to make any remarks? Hearing none, let's move on to agenda item number four, Clery Act, information only. Chief General Counsel Reynolds, please.
Thank you, Chair McMichael, and good morning. Joe Reynolds, INCHI General Counsel. I'm just giving a brief 5-minute overview of the Clery Act. The Clery Act, we could talk hours on this and the importance, but for some of the benefits of the new regents, and just as a reminder, wanted to give a brief overview, and that the Clery Act is one of the most significant and important higher education laws that we strive to comply with every year. And just want to let the committee know, too, that we have Director Renwick and Director Garcia, who you're going to hear from on other items later today. And I'll ask them to also maybe weigh in as their offices work extensively and intimately with the Clery Act and the reporting requirements. Gene Clery was a higher education student in 1986 who was murdered and raped while she was a student on campus. The institution she attended had a significant history of crime and criminal activity on campus. And her parents and the rest of the public didn't know about that criminal activity. And so the United States Congress passed what we refer to as the Clery Act in 1990. And one of the main pieces that the Clery Act requires is notification of both the campus community, but also an annual reporting requirement that's due on October 1st every year to publicly release data and information on four important categories of criminal offenses. One is basic criminal offenses that occur within the campus community that includes criminal homicide, rapes, incest, robbery, aggravated assault, the motor vehicle theft, and arson. Another category of Clery reporting requirements are hate crimes that also include assault, intimidation, destruction of property. A third category includes acts of violence against women, including domestic violence, dating violence, stalking. And a fourth category includes arrests and referrals for certain discipline, as well as weapons violations, violations of drugs laws, and liquor laws. Also, a main component of the Clery Act are timely warnings and notifications to the campus community. That's also something in these COVID times that campuses have had to comply with as well, based on guidance from the federal government. When an INCHI institution, and I think the board is aware of this, and our campuses are, is that they've seen these, when there is an initial notification of a COVID a positive test result or diagnosis on campus, we have sent out notifications to the campus community regarding that positive notice. After the break that occurred over the winter months, the guidance was to send out renewed notifications to the campus community regarding positive COVID tests. And again, the underlying purpose is transparency, notification, so that anyone who touches the campus community has access to information and is aware of possible threats and possible harm. And also a part of the Clery Act is prevention requirements, student and employee rights, and requirement that disciplinary proceedings occur by trained professionals. Again, this was only a 5-minute briefing and update, and could go into great length regarding Clery Act requirements. But I would invite Director Renwick or Director Garcia if they have anything to briefly add on this.
Hi, thanks, Joe. Todd Renwick, for the record, Chair McMichael, thank you. Joe, I think you did a great job. We pay very close attention to this. This has federal requirement that comes with severe ramifications for institutions that are out of compliance. We have made commitments up here that we will work with our Northern Command institutions to ensure that compliance. We have a full-time Clery compliance officer that is assigned this duty and works with all of our Northern Command institutions. But Joe, I thought you did an outstanding job. Thank you for recovering that.
Good morning. My name is Adam Garcia. For the record, I'm the Vice President for Public Safety Services for Southern Command. And yes, Joe, you covered it very well. At Southern Command, we also have a Clery compliance coordinator. Her full-time job is compliance to the Clery Act. We feel that it is important, as Joe indicated, for transparency purposes. But the reality of it is that it's all about safety in ensuring that our students, our faculty, staff, and visitors are aware of potential dangers that they may face when they're on our campuses or coming to our campuses. So for those of you in Southern Command, Southern Las Vegas, if you ever want to discuss further. We can give you full briefings, as Mr. Reynolds indicated. We could do this for a couple of days and probably still not be done with it. So thank you.
Mr. Chair, may I make a comment? This is Regent Geddes, and I just want to say I truly appreciate all the great work that Chief Garcia and Chief Renwick do in this regards. And with the shared services agreements and the Southern and Northern Command, the way they're working together, the ability for those Clery Act professionals to assist the community colleges and the smaller campuses is just tremendous. I mean, the reporting and the detail over the last several years has just gotten better and better, and I appreciate all their work and focus on it. But thank you.
Yes, and I too would like to commend the Southern and Northern Command for their input. Quite sure that they have a handle on most of the information that comes into their they get that information out to us in a timely manner so that we can act on it. With that said, we'll move on to agenda item number 5, NG Southern Command, and this is information only. Adam Garcia, Director.
Thank you, Chairman Michael. Good morning, committee members, Chancellor, and presidents. Can we have the slide put up, the slideshow? Thank you. For the record, my name's Adam Garcia. I'm the Vice President for Public Safety Services for Southern Command. Can we go to the next slide? Over the next few minutes, I will be providing you with an update on public safety activities and issues in Southern Command. Can we have the next slide, please? So as I reported to you in December, the Southern Command Office of Emergency Management continues to support Clark County and our Southern Nevada neighbors in the provision of COVID-19 testing to our community. The National Guard and other staff currently are working at the UNLV testing sites. They will be reassigned to vaccination sites throughout the Las Vegas Valley to assist in increasing the output of the vaccine administration. The Southern Nevada Health District is working with a third-party vendor in order to continue to provide testing to our campuses, as well as the commitment that we've made to our community. As of 5 p.m. last night, we have facilitated 250,000 COVID tests at the UNLV various sites that you see here. The number that you see is an old number. We have significantly increased the number of COVID testing that we've provided. Next slide, please. Southern Nevada has seen a significant ebb and flow of COVID-19 cases. Currently, we're mirroring the trends that we've seen across the United States, with confirmed cases in Clark County and our campuses down. Police Services Emergency Management Division has worked in partnership with the Southern Nevada Health District, UNLV Medicine, and nursing programs at UNLV, CSN, in Nevada State, as well as the Clark County Regional Policy Group, establishing a closed NC pod point of distribution site at UNLV and the CSN Henderson Student Unions. Because of the urgent need to expand vaccinations, the pod was expanded. Both pods at CSN and UNLV were expanded to an open pod that included 21 other community groups. And as you can see from the slide, these groups included first responders, NC students, faculty and staff, 70 plus employees whose jobs required close contact with others, teachers and staff from the Clark County School District, private and charter schools, healthcare workers, court officials, TSA for the airport, and most recently to NC employees age 65 and plus. So these groups are the groups that we have administered vaccines to throughout the last few months. We hope to move to an additional category of faculty, staff, and students as soon as these groups are approved. As of the close of business yesterday, the pods at UNLV and CSN have administered 55,036 vaccines. This is just over 11% of the total vaccinations that have been given in Southern Nevada. Next slide, please. As it relates to the continued consolidation processes in Southern Command, enhancement of overall safety and security continues to remain the primary objective, as does our philosophy to act in accordance with the Board of Regents' obligation to the taxpayers to not only study, but also to realize the savings in operations wherever possible, and to return those savings to the core mission of the institutions, which we view as teaching, research, and overall student success. In this vein, in the first year of the implementation process, cost savings of over $1.6 million were realized. As the consolidation has matured since then, additional cost savings of $1.5 million have been realized, and this is through September of 2020. For instance, contracted security at the CSN campuses are now reporting to the on-duty University Police Services Supervisor. This eliminated the need for security guard supervisors who were each paid an annual salary of about $50,000. Monitoring of surveillance cameras and duress alarms were also moved to a central location at the West Charleston campus, with a long-term goal to move all of these dispatch operations to University Police Central Dispatch, thereby reducing the need for multiple security at each of the previous monitoring locations. These new efficiencies have reduced the previous security budget of $1.6 million per year to a current cost of approximately $1 million per year, resulting in an estimated cost savings of approximately $601,000 each year. Finally, with the introduction of 24-hour police coverage, a security contract at Nevada State College was terminated. This has resulted in additional cost savings of $29,000 for FY20. The cost saving measures that I just discussed have resulted in a total savings for NC and the institutions of $1.5 million for FY20. In addition, the department has continued to aggressively seek and apply for grant funding. We have applied for $2.34 million in grant funding since the consolidation, and as of September 2020, received $601,000 in awarded funding for traffic and pedestrian safety, metal detectors for various special event venues, state-of-the-art inoperable radio communications, e-ticketing devices, electronic fingerprinting machines, breathalyzer equipment, two positions for homeless outreach and residential hall life liaison officers, plus an additional $150,000 in funding for continuity of operations, plan development, and training. This is through a state of Nevada vendor for our CSN and Nevada State campuses for a total of grant awards of $751,000 since February of 2019, when the consolidation took place. We have worked extensively with Nevada State in their continuity of operations plan and development, and we've done some training with them. The next phase is moving to CSN, and we hope to begin doing that within the next 30 to 60 days. In recognition of the work my team has put in their efforts, and due to the support of Chancellor Rose, President Whitfield, President Zaragoza, President Chara, and President Patterson. And she has been named as a finalist for this year's Cashman Good Government Award. We're waiting, should know any day now whether we will be the recipient of that award. Next slide, please. As in my December report, Southern Command continues to struggle to fill positions. We still continue to seek qualified candidates who are reflective of the community that we serve. So if any of you are interested in a career change, now's the time, just let me know. We'll bring you on board. Next slide, please. Despite the pandemic in 2020, in 2020 was the first full year of the consolidation. Police activity remains fairly constant with prior years. However, we're not seeing any significant areas of concern. As you see from the slide here, it remains fairly static. Next slide, please. Just to give you an idea of kind of the work that my team is doing, the Consolidated Central Dispatch Division has handled over 1 million transmissions in 2020, again, the first full year of the consolidation. In January of this year alone, dispatch handled over 90,000 transmissions, the most recent month that we have for available statistics. This amounts to about 75,000 minutes of two-way radio airtime between department field personnel and the dispatch center. Next slide, please. UNLV, Nevada State College, and CSN all now have a safety app, which are fully integrated into Central Dispatch, our social media accounts, as well as COVID-related resources. Southern Nevada institutions systems to send out 39 safety messages in 2020 to community members. This included tests, timely warnings, advisory information, and emergency alerts. So these alerts were what Mr. Reynolds discussed as part of our query protocols. And so we're seeing increased use and significant movement as it relates to the safety messages that we're sending out pursuant to Cleary and some of the other protocols that we have in place. At UNLV, we continue to maintain and enhance the central surveillance system with 83 cameras that will be added soon. The campus continues to implement the last phases of the new emergency phones with 84 new generation phones across its campuses. In addition, just yesterday, a UNLV camera policy was approved. It establishes surveillance oversight and brings the university within compliance of current standards and board policy. CSN video management system has approximately 760 surveillance cameras and an additional 58 phone towers, with new devices that are added either through new construction or by request from my department. The Nevada State College video management system has 63 cameras, along with 8 emergency phone towers. 5 of them have been most recently installed as part of the new Village student housing complex. In DRI, the Las Vegas campus has 1 emergency phone. We have been working extensively with DRI to establish a camera policy and to begin the process of implementing safety cameras throughout their campus. Dr. Chara and I have discussed this. We're working our way through this, and we intend on installing these safety cameras as soon as possible. Next slide, please. So in order to better reflect my commitment to community-based policing and in partnership with the UNLV Consolidated Students of the University of Nevada, the old security program was disbanded, and we rebranded the student security to a student cadet program, much like what had been established at UNR when I was there. These cadets provide golf cart shuttles and walking escort services for students, faculty, staff and visitors to any campus location during the evening hours. These services can be requested by calling Police Services Dispatch or by requesting a ride through the Rebel Safe app. We hope to further expand these services once we've overcome our COVID-related restrictions. Next slide, please. As some of you know, both Northern and Southern Command experienced the loss of valuable and loved members of our respective departments. On June 16th, 2020, Northern Command K-9 Bonnie was struck and killed by a vehicle while working in a case near UNR. On November 29th, Southern Command K-9 Buster, who you see here, died unexpectedly and suddenly. Shortly after the death of K-9 Bonnie, we were contacted by a forensic composite artist for the Philadelphia Police Department by the name of Johnny Castro. Officer Castro, on his own time, has painted nearly 850 portraits of American heroes, fallen police officers, canines, firefighters, military service members, and civilians of crimes. Each portrait is completed at no charge to families of the heroes and their departments. Officer Castro had read about the death of Bonnie through media reports and memorialized Bonnie with a portrait for UNR K-9 officer Tom Emmons and another for members of University of Police Services Northern Command. In Castro's own words, "I truly hope I captured her the way she will always be remembered as a hero." Can you turn the PowerPoint off? Can you turn the PowerPoint off, please? Thank you. So, Director Renwick, you will be receiving these momentarily. I'm not sure if you can see this. There are two portraits, one which we hope that will be hung in your department, and the other one for Officer Emmons. Officer Castro also provided my department with one, which we will, out of respect for Bonnie, hang in our lobby.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. And somebody did come in. I didn't know what they were dropping off, but hold on one sec. Well, this is great. Thank you very much. This will be proudly displayed in the department, and I know that Officer Emmons will take it to heart as well. These canines mean a lot to us. They become part of our family. They roam the station like any other officer would roam the station. I used to get criticized because I would purposely drop little pieces of food in my office so Bonnie would come in and spend some time in my office. So that means a lot. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for all you do, Todd. So as I wrap this up, obviously our Southern Command K-9 Buster will never be forgotten, but we've been hard at work at reestablishing our own K-9 program in his memory. And I wanted to introduce and welcome for the first time our new K-9 members. All of these dogs are trained in explosive detection and are meant to further our community-based policing philosophy to our campuses. If you turn the PowerPoint off, that'd be great. Yeah, if you can turn the PowerPoint off, please. Thank you. So all these handlers and partners will have completed their training and be certified by the end of this month. Sergeant McCleave and his partner, Canine Astra, who's a three-year-old German short-haired pointer. So this is Astra. Officer Carney and his partner, Canine Sully, a two-year-old Vizsla. And Sully is, as you can see, a pup and very rambunctious. Interim handler, Officer Johnson, and his partner, Macy, a two-year-old German wire-haired pointer. And finally, Officer Moses and his partner, Leia, a two-year-old Labrador retriever. And so, like I said, we use these canines extensively, in particular due to the number of special events that we have on campus throughout the year. They're going through the training now, and again, once we pass the COVID restrictions, we hope to have plenty of events here in which all of these new members of the department will take part in our community policing philosophy. We do look forward to introducing this team to our campus relatively soon. That ends my presentation. I'm available to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much for that presentation. And I'm pleased to see that our four-legged patrol is well in hand, and their training, I'm quite sure, is as great deal of patrol experience to the bands, and I wish to again commend you on your presentation and efforts that you make to recognize even the four-legged patrol officer. Any other questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Laura, Regent Perkins here.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Just a quick question. Because this is our first year that it's completely been combined, was there any surprises to the combination or to the collaboration that either negative or both negative and positive that came out of this this particular structure?
Adam Garcia for the record, Regent Perkins, no, not really. I think that this is very well accepted, not only within the campuses that we're serving. The presidents in the chancellor's office have been highly supportive of all of our initiatives. Our students are very supportive as well in understanding. And I think the members of the department not only are expected to see the changes that they've seen, but they've also embraced them. So I can't say that I've had any, there have been no pushback. Everybody's been supportive, and we have, we're moving forward gangbusters to complete the work that I was brought on board to do.
Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And I've heard only good things about this this configuration of the University PD.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, could I say, Patrick Boylan here, could I say something to Director Garcia?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Director Garcia, I think you made my day bringing those dogs. It was just the best presentation I've seen in a while, all four of them marching in there. A great thing to me. It's really special that we use these animals to help us. Because dogs are just way up there in my list of great things. I think this program is going to be great. I really do believe that they'll be a great help to our community. And I thank you and your officers for all the great service. We've got your back. Be safe, sir.
Thank you, Regent Boylan. Appreciate it.
Do we have any other comments or questions?
Chair McMichael, President Patterson, if I may, I just wanted to congratulate Adam and his whole team. I know all of the presidents in Southern Nevada are very appreciative and think it's working very, very well. One of the things I wanted to highlight that isn't as well known is that emergency management also falls under Adam's direction. And we've been working a lot with Greg May of his office on various incident responses. And of course, that was very valuable as we've been dealing with COVID, to have that kind of emergency management expertise. But it's also much broader than that and covers all kinds of incidents that we would prepare for on campus. So I just wanted the committee to be aware of that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Hearing none. Yes.
Chair, if I may, this is Kibbutz Acharya, DRI. I wanted to echo what Bart said, but I also wanted to say Adam and his team are a pleasure to work with, highly responsive, amazing people. Just wanted to say thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. Chair, this is Federico Zaragoza from the College of Southern Nevada. And I, too, want to echo the observations that have been made by my two colleagues. But I want to emphasize that, you know, the data speaks loudly about how effective this transition has been. But the feedback we get from students is equally impressive. This is a well-trained, extremely student-centered a team that, you know, Vice President Garcia has assembled and very much appreciated by the College of Southern Nevada and I'm sure all of our Southern institutions.
And Mr. Chairman, if I might add, this is Keith Whitfield from UNLV. I would be completely remiss to not jump aboard the train that is going here and espousing the incredible work that Vice President Garcia does. I feel so informed by him, and knowing what goes on relative to safety is critically important, but I can tell you what, the piece that has blown me away has been the coordination, the work, the logistics that have gone on in terms of the COVID response. That has been a multi-institution response that Director Garcia has arranged. And I think us as presidents sometimes look at him and say, hey, we need to be able to work together as well as he's getting our faculty to work together. But I think that, you know, there is the community on our campuses that he has been able to foster. Even during the pandemic, I think a sense of community, but I think as well, it's the region that's being impacted by this. I will say as well that I've also been impressed with some of the thinking and the action that Director Garcia has taken relative to social justice, because I know, speaking for myself in terms of our campus, we do have some concerns from our students and from our faculty, and Director Garcia has been so responsive. I think that it's kept it moving forward, and there is still more progress that needs to be made. But it's just one of those added benefits of having somebody of his caliber and his team and the incredible work that they do. They haven't stopped me from speeding down Maryland Parkway yet, so I appreciate their patience with a new president trying to learn his way around. But just wanted to say thank you again.
Thank you.
More questions or comments? All right, hearing none, we'll move on to agenda item number 6. NCHE Northern Command, information only. Director Todd Renwick.
Hi, good morning. Todd Renwick, for the record, Assistant Vice President, Director for Police Services Northern Command. Chair McMichael, thank you for this opportunity, and also I want to welcome the new committee members and regents that we have. Hope to host you here someday at Police Services so we can show you around, and that offer is extended to all of our regents. Chancellor Rose, thank you, and on behalf of Northern Command Presidents, I'm honored to be able to present this update for you. We can go ahead and go on to the next slide. So you did get a bit of an overview from President Sandoval on the vaccination planning and where we're at yesterday, but just to kind of highlight, you know, this has been a process. It's much different in the north than what you're seeing in the south. However, I think through the remarkable work of Amanda Wins, our organizational resiliency officer, and Dr. Hug English, we were able to get a large dose allotment from our county health department that allowed us to get our INSHE faculty who met the criteria of the governor's playbook vaccinated. And so really where we're at this point is we've identified our supply, commerce, and agriculture chain, which is very, very low numbers that we don't expect to be an issue. And hopefully in the next week, week and a half, we'll be caught up with them. We continue to provide assistance and whatever assistance we can to Western Nevada College and GBC, as they are in their own counties, so they fall with outside of the Washoe County area, which has allowed us to service the University of Nevada, Reno, Truckee Meadows Community College, and DRI faculty and staff who fit the criteria as these lanes come up. But for the most part, it's going a lot smoother than anticipated, I think. We struggle with a lot of the same issues that everybody else struggles with, getting the actual doses and supply, but I think we're working through it, and I don't anticipate any significant issues as we go through this. So again, I'm fortunate enough to have a colleague or colleagues like Amanda and Dr. Hug English, as well as our issues management team. You know, we've been working together for quite some time, if you all remember, starting with our Res Hall explosion of Argenta Hall. We transitioned into a pandemic, so we've been pretty active as an issues management team, working through critical incidents and difficult problems, and it's truly a blessing to have this caliber of a group working on this. One of the other things that we did since our last update was we tabletopped a civil unrest exercise. This stemmed from coming up on the election in November. We wanted to just make sure we kind of transitioned out of what we had been working on in the pandemic and get our minds focused on some other potential issues that we could see. So we had a very good exercise that we did based on a civil unrest. And we move the slide. Some of our university community initiatives since our last update, we have dedicated two officers to work with our other brother and sister agencies, Reno Sparks and Washoe County Sheriff's Office, as well as other resource entities in our community to combat our homeless population problems that we're seeing. One of the things that is happening right now is we are going to be doing a fairly large-scale Truckee River cleanup, which will include our Sparks Farm Ag property. And so we are working collaboratively with our other agencies and the county, as well as the CARES facility that is being erected right now down at our Governor's Bowl, which is in outside of our downtown area. That's going to provide us with an avenue to provide additional resources, beds, and a more equipped place for our community who's experiencing homelessness or mental health issues. So we have married up with that group and made a commitment to work towards making headway and solving some of those issues that we're seeing. We don't just see them down at our Sparks Farm property. We see them actually on our good majority of our INSHE Northern Command properties throughout the greater Truckee Meadows area. We have established a diversity, equity, and inclusion task force. We work with Dr. Maura Gordon and her office here at the university. This task force is comprised of our sworn officers from each campus and our civilian staff, and we're holding meetings once per month, and we discuss a variety of things, but upcoming events and how we can make them inclusive, how we can partner with other groups on campus, and keep taking a deep dive into our department and what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong, what we can enhance and make better. But more importantly, we want to just show that commitment to diversity. We have partnered with our undergraduate research department. We awarded a community-based research award to a student. The student is taking a deep dive for us into our campus community to find out why there may that be that perception of not feeling safe on campus. What happens is we go out and we have conversation with students and they tell us that they're unsafe, and we kind of go down our list of questions about, you know, were you the victim of a crime? Do you know someone who was a victim of a crime on campus? And ultimately what we find out is that's not the case. It's coming from somewhere else. And we really want to learn more about where is this coming from? Is it the political environment? Is it something from where you grew up that makes you feel this way? But I'm hoping that this will allow our officers who are contacting our community to have talking points when they engage folks who feel this way, so we can work through and find out additional information. Next slide, please. So, and again, Director Garcia, thank you for that drawing. I'm still thinking about it right now. That was it's pretty cool and very thoughtful, and we're very appreciative. But we had an anonymous donor come forward after Bonnie lost her life and donated funds for a new dog. So what you see here is our new canine. We are happy to have Rosie here with the department. Rosie actually just got certified in her explosives detections piece this week, early this week. So we're excited for that. She did all that training here. We worked with our regional canine trainers, and we did this over at Lawler Event Center. There were a couple other dogs in our community that needed to get certified. So good news on that. So we're excited to welcome her into the department. One of the other things that I'm really proud of since our last update is my command staff took a class here at the university called Structural Oppression. They were in this class with other students. I got to tell you, it was pretty impactful for them. You can imagine that when you're in a class with other students and they figure out that there are actual law enforcement officers in that class and law enforcement officers that are providing the law enforcement services to the institution that they attend will spark a lot of dialogue. And this was very good dialogue that they had amongst themselves with topics that were discussed throughout the class. And what this has allowed the command staff to do is come back to the department and have these conversations with our officers and discuss through them, so there's a deeper dive into this reality of what's going on in society, and share that dialogue amongst each others and really just peel it back. So I'm really proud of them, but between the command staff, I think we produced a 4.0 GPA. They got A's. I was proud of the work and the dedication that they put into this class. It was a long semester for them, not only with work at their full-time job and taking this class. So kudos to them. Next slide, please. So in addition to that, our relationship with the School of Social Work has been outstanding. You know, I keep putting this out there, but Shadi Martin from the School of Social Work has just been a pleasure to work with. We have two interns in our department. You see their picture there, Tweedy and Craig. They come in pretty much throughout the week. They work with our patrol officers. So we pretty much have one of them here every day during the week. They ride with them. They go to calls. We try to specifically have them go to calls that are involving homelessness, mental health issues, and they get to work with the officers through solving those calls that we get for service related to that. The other cool thing that's going to happen is they're going to take part in this Truckee River cleanup that we're going to be doing, because what's going to happen is as we sweep through the Truckee River and we displace those experiencing homelessness, they're going to start to relocate in other areas, and we anticipate seeing a little bit more increase in our homeless population as we do this. But we are going to be equipped to immediately turn around and start providing resources and get them hopefully to the CARES campus for additional resources. It's also been good because they've seen a really good field in going through this. Next slide. We participated in our Wolfpack HAL, one of the monthly Wolfpack HALs that we have here at the university. Assistant Chief Eric James was a moderator for the Wolfpack HAL on safety and justice, free speech, and how should community violence. We continue to meet with our student groups as we can virtually, including our other Northern Command campuses, TMCC, UNR, and WNC. One of the interesting things in this pandemic is still trying to provide those services such as self-defense, and we are continuing to virtually provide our workplace safety presentations as well as our self-defense classes for our students. We have one of our executive staff members, Assistant Chief James, who's the co-chair for the Diversity Summit Subcommittee and the Equity and Inclusion Subcommittee. You know, we're really making that effort to infiltrate and put ourselves in the university's initiatives and be part of it. We don't want to be watching from afar. We want to be right in there and be a part of it. Officers are continuing to do all of their safety classes and self-defense classes that we have, whether they're virtually, high flex, you name it, we're trying to find a way to get it done, which has been interesting. And we are learning, obviously, probably like all of you, how to do business different in this type of a setting. Next slide, please. We were featured in the First Generation Student Week. So one of our command officers, again, Assistant Chief James, was featured as a first generation student. We participated in that. We also continue to meet with our underrepresented groups like Black at the PAC, and also through our Diversity and Inclusion Task Force. We're ensuring that we're out making contact and meeting with the different groups. We are now, we have always been part of the regional OIS protocol, which is if there's an officer involved shooting, there are other agencies from our area that are assigned to investigate it. We now have one of our detectives, actually both of our detectives are in this rotation. They'll respond when this happens and be an investigating part of that team. We have developed through some of our officers a peer support group. And so what we do is we travel around to different agencies in our region if there is a loss. Unfortunately, we've seen here locally a few of our brother and sister agencies have lost members to suicide. Our peer support group have been very active in going to those agencies and providing peer support. Next slide, please. Our training. So since our last meeting, we have kind of redesigned our training. We've moved to a block training concept. And the reason we did this is we want to make sure that we are getting all of our important topics into our training rotation. So it's happening annually and that everybody is getting through this. And one of them, one of our big highlights here is our integrating communications assessment and tactics. It's our ICAT training. This is a de-escalation training that we are teaching to our officers. And actually, as I speak now, we have officers that traveled out this week to GBC. They're out at GBC providing training to our GBC public safety folks in a lot of the same training that we are doing here on campus. So it is really cool with our shared services agreement that we have the ability to go to Elko, which for some of you, you know, that from the Truckee Meadows area to Elko is about 5 hours. So I'm glad that I am able to provide that for GBC and keep that relationship going, as well as keep our consistency in the north with how we're training. Next slide, please. So Amanda Wins, our organizational resiliency manager, I just want to highlight this and give her some kudos. She completed her final 25-page research paper on how race, gender, socioeconomics, and religion has impacted a current Nevada emergency. She's been working triple time and a half through this pandemic and coordinating vaccinations, as well as her professional growth. So kudos to Amanda, and it's a pleasure to have her as a colleague. It's a great relationship to have. Our department was featured in the October 21st IACLEA, which is the International Association of Campus Law Enforcement Agencies News Bulletin reference Coffee with a Cop event that we held out there at WNC with President Solis's crew, and it was a great day. There's a picture there highlighting we had Sheriff Kenny Furlong, who's the sheriff there in Carson, come, and it was just a great event. One of the other things that we did, and I may have spoke about this at the last update, but I do want to update you on this, is, you know, you got to find a way to help morale within your team and your agencies during a pandemic like this. We're frontline people. We don't get to necessarily work from home and do some other different things that happen. So one of the things that I did was I lifted the grooming standards for our department. So what that means is for officers, male officers, they can grow beards. Female officers can do different things with their hair or piercings. And our civilian staff can dress down. But we put a little caveat on that. It came with a fee. And that fee was to raise funds and each month pick something to donate to. And we've been raising funds and donating mainly to our student funds at our different campuses, because we know that our students have been experiencing a lot of crises during this pandemic. So to date, and this doesn't account for this month, because I think we're, I haven't gotten the official number for this month, but we're at about $1,580. Our funds raised during this pandemic to go into student funds. We were also featured in the October Wildcat Happenings newsletter for our donating to the food pantry there at WNC. Next slide. And that's it. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Chair yes. McMichaels.
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you. For the record, Chancellor Rose, I just wanted to say quickly how much I appreciate the work of both of these individuals. As you all know, I've only been here 6 months in the job, and when you come into a role like this at a time like this, one of the things that's top of mind is, you know, how secure are our campuses? How do our students feel about police presence on our campuses? And I can tell you that across the country, I hear my counterparts
really struggling with issues on their campuses related to security and safety. And sometimes I think when things are going well, we take them for granted. And so I just want to underscore my deep appreciation for both Directors Garcia and Renwick and their ability to move so smoothly across our campuses and be so well received by our student populations in particular. You know, I like to tease Director Garcia. I get to see him more often than Director Renwick, that they were for, you know, community policing before it was cool. And, you know, I just think the proof is in the pudding. And we're very, very fortunate to have these leaders on our campuses. And I want to say thank you very, very much.
Mr. Chairman, this is Brian Sandoval. May I make a comment?
Yes, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I just want to echo the Chancellor's remarks, and particularly for Chief or Director Renwick. He has just done an extraordinary job. His officers in the department have done an extraordinary job. And you've seen from the amount of outreach that they conduct and the efforts they do for training is nothing short of remarkable. And Chief Renwick's leadership, he's an individual I've known for many, many years. Really admired and respected what he's done for this campus and what he's done for this community. And similarly with Director Garcia, I've known him for many, many years as well. And the system is very blessed to have two individuals with the strength and leadership that they have. So I just wanted to be on the record to publicly state my appreciation and gratitude for Chief Renwick and as well as Chief Garcia. Thank you.
The Chairman, may I say something, please? Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go right ahead.
Regent Boyne, yeah. To Chief Renwick, I think your idea of a fee for facial hair is just outstanding, and I hope it catches on with a lot of people. And of course, I can say it quite comfortably, so it's something I should be charging myself a fee, I guess. But I think it's outstanding work, what you've done up there too. And I do remember the fire situation that you had and how it was handled. I wasn't on the board then, but I do remember reading about it and I thought, wow, this is really something. And I think your same thing with your dogs there. You'll have some really good off. Ah, I guess somebody else's dogs all right. Now, you have some great police officers, canine officers. Do take care of yourself, and we have your back, sir.
Commissioner. Regent Chair Donald, may I also make a comment?
Go right ahead.
Thanks so much, President Karin Hilgerson. For the record, I also just want to give my highest kudos to Todd Renwick. It's been a really great partnership. One of his employees who is vital to the campus services that we receive at TMCC, John Galicia, received Employee of the Month, which was pretty awesome. And what was really fun about it, many people showed up to that Zoom meeting because John has is a wonderful presence on our campus. And he talked to us all about the course that he had just completed, which really he said, and I'm paraphrasing here, deepened his understanding of how racism and equity, inclusion, belonging, how all those things intersect. And so we just have a wonderful, peaceful campus. And I think part of that is because of the great attitudes of the staff and the team that Todd Renwick has really taken a lot of time to create that attitude and that atmosphere. So thank you so much, Chief Todd.
Chair McMichael, may I say something also?
Go right ahead.
Thank you. So our closest campus to Reno is actually about 2.5 hours, which is Winnemucca, and of course Elko's over 4 hours. But we do work with the Northern Command very well. We had officers from UNR out this week doing training with our security officers. And our lead security officer, Joe Mickey, spent last week in Reno working with officers not only UNR, but TMCC and WNC. We also do joint trainings. And so even though we're far away, we are very, we have access and we're very pleased with that. Thank you.
Chair McMichael.
Go ahead.
Just Vince Solis for the record. Chair, I wanted to echo my colleagues. Can't say enough about the partnership we have with UNR. I specifically want to recognize Chief Renwick, Chris Nero, and Adam Wilson, the officers that we have on campus. We couldn't ask for a better partnership, for a better group of folks working with us. They are exceptional in every capacity, and I'm just really pleased with the level of service and commitment they have to our students, to our faculty, and to our staff. So I wanted to thank Chief Renwick and Chief Garcia for just being who they are in terms of their commitment to all of our institutions. We couldn't ask for a better team, and I just wanted to put that on the record.
Here, if I may, I would be remiss if I didn't thank Chief Renwick. Thank you for making our campus safe. Our faculty up in Reno appreciate your team's work very much. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, Regent Perkins here. Kudos to Chief Renwick about the initiatives with the social work, Department of Social Work. That is way ahead of the curve. There's only very few departments, let alone university departments, that are thinking that far in advance to involve that component in their law, you know, their law enforcement tactics. And great on the creativity for the dress down fees. Love that. And I'll ask you the same question as I asked Director Garcia. Was there any surprises with the consolidation, both good and bad?
No, and if you recall, you know, we had a little bit of a lead advance on our consolidation back in 2016. So even during that time, you know, really the only surprises were is, you know, really confirmation of how well this can work. And that, you know, we probably should have looked at this, you know, a long time ago, which we did. But, you know, it took a while to get there, and we got there. And, you know, Director Garcia was there. He knows. And so we, you know, like I said, I think the surprise was is we just surprised ourselves by knowing what we already were.
That is great to hear. Thank you so much. Oh, and about that ride around campus, only if I can run it on code.
We could probably make that happen.
Well, do we have any additional questions or comments? Would like to commend both commands for their excellent presentations. Appreciate everyone's cooperation. If anyone has any suggestions or questions, this is the NBTB. Hearing none, we move on to agenda item number 7, NCHI Cyber Security. This is information only. Chief Information Security Officer, Risa Simmons, please.
Chair McMichael, this is Joe Reynolds. Just a gentle reminder, I believe we're running over on time for the committee this morning. But just a friendly reminder on that.
Thank
you. Risa Simmons for the record, and I am the NCHI Chief Information Security Officer. I'd like to wish a good morning to Chancellor Rose, the President's, Chair McMichael, and the Board of Regents Security Committee members. I'd also like to extend a warm welcome to the new board members, Regents Tarkanian, Brooks, and Boyan. It's great to have you present. I'd also like to extend my condolences to the Northern Command on the loss of Canine Officer Blommy. I know those animals become family members for their handlers and for their commanding units. They are comrades and social companions as well as emotional companions. So when one of those is lost, it's like a huge hole that doesn't get filled. So my condolences extended to you. I'd also like to extend gratitude to the Northern and Southern units for their amazing leadership and their community service provided not only to the institutions, but also to the outlying communities. Your partnership helps to build a stronger posture among those communities, and it also develops a transparency and trust that is second to none. So for that, I thank you. I'd also like to thank you for allowing me time to share about NSHE's cybersecurity program. And I'm going to shamelessly borrow from NSHE's Chief Internal Joseph Sunbury's presentation yesterday and just provide a brief background of the NSHE Security Office. Hopefully this will give you a better understanding, particularly for the new members, of information security and how it works at NSHE. So as I stated before, I am the Chief Information Security Officer, and I've been at NSHE for about 18 months. Prior to that, I spent 14 years as the CISO for North Dakota State University and 2 years as a CISO for the University of Miami in Coral Gables, Florida. I have over 25 years of experience in higher education. My team and I are remote. There are 3 members based in Reno. We have 2 security analysts and 1 security engineer. And then I am based in Las Vegas. We manage this through daily meetings. We have emergency buttons on our cell phones. We are in close contact with each other, and we have really built up a strong relationship and a strong level of trust that works really well. Some of the responsibilities for the NSHE Information Security Office include fostering community and knowledge among the institutions for information security opportunities and challenges, of which there are many. We also engage in an information security program that delivers collaborative efforts and a common security framework along with governance and accountability. And how we do this is accomplished through leveraging institutional and external partnerships and collaborations. We attempt to use system-wide resources and the facilitation of information security governance. The Information Security Office advises senior leadership on security direction, resource investments, and guides and promotes implementation of appropriate standards and procedures to minimize risk, which is critical. The essential functions of this office include program leadership, policy compliance and assessment, notice I didn't say audit, outreach, education and training, and risk management and incident response. In order to do this, we have developed several shared partnerships and collaborations. The most notable within NSHE are partnerships with general counsel, internal audit, insurance loss and control. With those, we have built up several programs or worked through several projects. And they are groups that I lean heavily on for advice and guidance. For example, with the internal audit, Alex Talladay Wright mentioned yesterday about the GLBA project and bringing institutions, giving them the knowledge so that they can become compliant with the rules within GLBA. Our office partnered with internal audit to develop those materials, to provide training, and to provide the resources they need to meet that compliance. We also assist internal and external audits with internal and external audits as needed by working with the different groups to pull the information that is requested or helping disseminate that information. For example, when I first came on board, I worked with Alex when he did his review of IT security policies. I also work with him closely on external audit findings and working with the different departments who have findings. With insurance and loss control, we partner together when it comes to working with insurance claims. I am the go-getter for information, and Lisa Schaller is the one who pulls it together and presents it, and we work very well together as a team. Also, for the institutions, we also have 2 groups. One is the Information Security Steering Committee, and it is comprised of CIOs and ISOs, and the responsibility for that committee is to provide direction and guidance for future projects, as well as review of current projects that are undergoing and how they can be improved. This is a very active group. We meet quarterly, but because we meet quarterly, we are often doing things via email or quick conversations, whatever. There is also the NSHE Information Security Officers Council, and that council is responsible for the development of policies, procedures, standards, and guidelines. And we work on several of those, and I'll share them later. And last but not least is campus police. We have done quite a bit of work with campus police. For example, when the pandemic hit, there was a lot of unemployment claim fraud, and NSHE, along with other state institutions, were affected. So with campus police, we developed a process for the different HR departments to report the fraud claims, and it's worked very well so far. I do not have a total number, but it's amazing how many there are. And this is no fault of NSHE. It is something that has happened across the nation, and it just goes to show how quickly a person's identity can become compromised. I also work very closely with NSHE institutions, CIOs, and ISOs in regards to providing advisement on separate issues or things that they have questions on. We are very much a shared unit as far as security programs. Last year, we developed what's known as vulnerability scanning, and that is we go out and we scan computers and servers and systems for vulnerabilities. Our report's developed, and we share it with those institutions or the ISO, and who has the ability to go out and provide remedy for those systems. At first, we started only with NSHE-SCS. We have now added all of the smaller institutions, and it is really nice because we provide a report to them where they are able to determine what systems they need to fix or what systems might need to be decommissioned because they're no longer being given support from whatever the operating system vendor is. The other thing we did was for vulnerability scanning for our web applications across the institutions. And we partnered with Dorkbot, which is through the University of Texas. And every week we receive reports from Dorkbot, which we disseminate out to the different institutions for remediation. Some of those reports are very high level, and I apologize to the institutions for having to go out and dig to find them, but it does provide us an overall picture of what our security posture is for our web applications and our websites. We also partnered with the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department Fusion Center for external vulnerability scanning. And what they provide is a very high level scan of what is being seen out in the wild and send reports back to us. I have to give our security analyst, Claire Humbutel, credit for all of this. She is the one who has managed, developed, and grown it. She is the one who partners with all of the institutions, and she does an amazing job. The other thing we provide is what's known as threat intelligence, both internal and external, that is shared on a weekly basis with all of the institutions. We also share multi-state informational bulletins as they come out regarding zero-day exploits. And some most common examples of those are Microsoft and Adobe. And especially if they are what they are termed, they're rated as white, which means to patch now. So we provide those as soon as we get them in. We also do security incident and event management. That is when we find a vulnerability or we see that a vulnerability is being taken advantage of. At this point, we don't have the resources to be able to fully conduct appropriate investigations and therefore rely on the partnerships of the institutions and NSHE-SCS departments to conduct our forensics as needed. Our incident response leader would be responsible for directing and guiding those departments. We do security awareness and training, do both outreach and internal. As I mentioned, we partnered with Alex Tolliday Wright. We did GLBA training, both face-to-face and virtual. We did it for all of the business officers and any of the IT business analysts who were interested. We also provided security awareness for October as Cybersecurity Awareness Month, And we did 4 days of virtual presentations. We brought in subject matter experts and renowned speakers to present at noon and to give an overview of current security threats, security opportunities, and so forth. We even featured one of our own, Kimberly Fairchild, who had been hacked on her Facebook page, and the hackers took it a bit further, and she was really well accepted because it was somebody within our own community who could actually share what she experienced, how she handled it, and what the fallout was. This year for Data Privacy Day awareness, we did 2 virtual presentations, and here we offered continued education credits for those who attended. And the first presentation, I believe, had 154 attendees, and the second one had well over 100. And we hope to continue these as we move forward. As far as shared projects with the institutions, I've mentioned GLBA and the partnership with internal audit, as well as the other institutions. During this, we provided what GLBA requires as a security plan. So we provided a template that was shared with the institutions, and many of the smaller ones have adopted it into their program. And then another thing we provided was a security incident response plan. And that was also considered a template which the smaller institutions adopted. Both of these items were shared with the Information Security Council and the Steering Committee for their input and their critique. So this was something that was had ownership on all sides, which makes me really proud. We are also working with the NIST CSF assessment process. I'm talking too fast and I apologize. That stands for the National Institute of Standards for Technology Cybersecurity Framework. The NIST CSF is a requirement that institutions have to follow as put forth in the Board of Regents Handbook, Chapter 4, and I believe it's Chapter 23. If I'm wrong, I'll correct myself. For many of them, this is a requirement where every 2 years they have to produce a current risk level report and then a future risk level report, what they plan to do to remediate some of those risks or some of those threats. Many of the institutions they didn't have the knowledge needed because proper training wasn't provided. So what the Information Security Office brought in was external training for them. We spent a day with virtual training with a subject matter expert. He recommended that we create a NIST CSF work group to evaluate the NIST CSF and design a new assessment tool and template that fits better with our higher institution needs. We are currently in the process of doing that. We have 4 work group members who are working arduously to get this done. So hopefully we plan to have this done by the end of June. I know it's a lofty goal, but I'm confident with their motivation, it's going to get done. Another thing we did was we developed information security language requirements for third-party and cloud service contracts and agreements. We worked with the Information Securities Council and the NSHI legal team and NSHI's Insurance and Loss Management Executive Director. This is now in its final stages and will go for final approval and will be turned over to legal counsel to be added to hopefully a policies and guidelines document. For future shared projects, we want to update and renew the NSHI procedures and guidelines for information security. There's several areas that need to be refreshed because technology has changed. We also are missing sections such as a software update and security patching standard. And we also need to include again that contract language requirements for third party and cloud services. We also plan to conduct a blended threat incident response workshop, which will be hosted by Ren Isaac. And Ren Isaac is the Research Education Network Information Sharing Analysis Center. And this is not only going to include IT departments, we're going to do a threat where it involves the Internet of Things or IT devices, where in residence life, there's going to be they'll be taken over by, they'll be hacked, and the IoTs will be taken over by the hackers. So that means they might turn off your heat, or they might turn off your electricity, or they might set off the alarms. So it's going to involve campus police. It'll involve risk management. It'll involve residents' life, as well as the IT department. So it's going to give a nice broad overview of how you would handle an incident such as that. For SDS and SA responsibilities, our office offers departmental training as requested and needed. We're switching from the current online security training platform SANS to KnowBefore, which is far more robust and engaging. And this platform is going to include phishing testing as well as training. And we're really excited about this. We hope to get it up and running in April. We also update information security procedures and guidelines. And we conduct security assessments for access and identity management. And this was something new that was brought in for the information security office. Quite often our offboarding process, or when people leave, things get missed, and that's normal. It's pretty common. So for example, our shared folders, we have folders where many people have access to them. We went in and assessed that and determined who actually needed that access and removed them or added people. We had owners for those folders. Some people no longer own those folders and needed to turn over ownership to someone else. So it was a really engaging, enlightening, and educating way to bring those people up to date and make them more aware of who actually has access to information. And we also provide guidance where needed for federal and state security requirements. So that's just a synopsis of what we do, short and sweet. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
And if we could keep the comments or questions brief, as we've already run over our... There are no questions or comments. I will move on to agenda item number 8, new business. Any new business? Hearing no new business, so we'll move on to agenda item number 9, public comment.
No public comment.
Are there any? All right, this concludes the Security Committee meeting. Thank you very much.